Water. Earth. Fire. Air. Months ago, all of us could come and go as we pleased, in harmony. Then everything changed when the pandemic attacked. Only the TV series, Avatar, The Last Airbender, a series our friends kept telling us about, would stop us from anxiously watching the news. But just when we needed to stream it most, it vanished.
About a month had passed, and my cousin and I discovered that Avatar, a show about an airbender named Aang, would start streaming on Netflix in a few weeks. And although our podcasting skills are great, we had a lot of episodes to watch before we were ready to podcast for anyone. But we believe Aang saved us from the chaos of our world. This is Kin Folklore, Avatar, The Last Airbender.
Hi everyone, today we're continuing our journey through Avatar, The Last Airbender, now back on Netflix. I'm Andrea, Paul and I are cousins who love fantasy and sci-fi and talk about it pretty much endlessly.
And we started this podcast because, you know what, we're excited and excited to share our observations about the stories that we love. And so far, we've covered a couple of stories, Dear to Us, His Dark Materials, and also in our second season, we covered The Witcher. Through these podcasts, we've been able to interact with fans of those shows, and we both found a deeper appreciation for the stories, and we're excited to do the same thing with Avatar, The Last Airbender.
Because the episodes of Atlar are much shorter than what we previously covered, we changed our format a bit. Each week, we cover a block of episodes. We'll provide a summary and talk through the themes introduced and what we learned. Last week, we discussed episodes 9 through 12, and we'll be talking about episodes 13 through 16 this week. So if you haven't watched through episode 16 yet, you should do that before listening to this podcast.
If this is your first time and you're uninitiated, this podcast will have adult content, which means that if, you know, you're worried about engaging in content about getting hit with the tongue while laying up with a sexy firebender, then you know what? You just may want to go ahead and opt out now. If you're not, then go ahead and keep listening. Journey on. So, we start with episode 13, The Blue Spirit. Commander Zhao gets shut down when he's asking for permission to use the Yu Yang archers. An elite group of precision archers, that are part of the Fire Nation military, and he's told no by his commanding officer. And just then, as if the Fire Lord is omnipresent, he sends a bird. The bird comes from Fire Lord Ozai, and it's basically a promotion. This guy's getting a promotion, and he's promoted to admiral, and now his request has become a command. Unknown to him, someone is listening. There's a figure wearing a blue mask. Put a pin in that. I think we're going to be coming back to it. So Team Avatar, you know what? They're not doing so well.
Sokka, this was too much for me. It was too much.
I mean, especially with what we're dealing with right now. Like, do we not have to watch people having the Rona on cartoons too?
It was too much. When Sokka started, like, hallucinating, I was like, I can't do this right now.
Do this. It's too much. It is. But you know what? They're very sick. And Sokka's, like, messed up. And Katara's trying to care for her brother. And Aang is, like, onto, like, well, we'll keep going. And she's like, no, Sokka can't travel. Like, chill out, dude. And then she starts coughing. Now Aang is shook, right? He is... Sokka can die, but for Aang, Katara is like, you know, everything, right? He's like, no, not you too. So, you know, at that point, Aang is going to go off in search of a remedy to find an herbalist, you know, because alternative medicine is big in this world too. I dig it. It's nice. So he's gone. And so at that point, Zuko, who's doing Zuko stuff, you know, he's searching for the Avatar. When Admiral Zhao...
Talking about his honor.
Yo, this guy is like, what will I do? I'll lose everything. My honor, my throne, my country. I'm just like, yeah, Jesus, man. Get a hold of yourself. So at this point, Admiral Zhao's soldiers pull up and they're told information. They're basically telling Zuko that all information from now on about the Avatar needs to go through Admiral Zhao. Of course, Zuko is pissed because his honor and everything rests on capturing the Avatar. He's like, nah, it's not going down. I'm pissed. So meanwhile, Aang arrives at the Herbalist Institute and he meets with a cool elderly lady who's missing.
Is she really cool, though?
I mean, as elderly ladies with random pets go, she's not bad. I don't.
She's not all there. Like, he's like, my friends are sick, and she starts mixing potions, and she's really making dinner for her cat. Like, yeah. She's not all there.
It's really, really hilarious because she's basically like just talking to him, and he's like, okay. Like, he is not trying to hear what she has to say at all. It's pretty funny. It's a funny sequence. I'm with you. So basically, he thinks that what she's mixing up, I don't know how he thinks this because she didn't have any lead time on this. He thinks that what she's mixing up is like a concoction to cure Katara and Sokka. And she's like, no, this is food for my cat. I'm sorry. Like, that's not what's happening. So he's frustrated there. But eventually she tells him what the cure is. It's for them to suck on frozen frogs.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Weird. Whatever.
Weird, but cool. It's all right. As he leaves the Institute, Aang is attacked by the Union Archers, and they live up to their hype. They are nice with the bow and arrow.
They're really good.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, the amount of arrows they put into his clothing without striking him was, I mean, how do you do that? How are you that precise? It's pretty crazy. So they pursue Aang, and they get him to a lake located where the frozen frogs are, and they capture him. Back at the Fire Nation Fortress, Zhao tells Aang of his plan. He realized that if he kills Aang, that he will just die and reincarnate in somebody else, and they'll have to deal with the Avatar problem at some point. So he's going to keep him alive because he doesn't want Aang to reincarnate again. But he's going to barely keep him alive, he says nefariously. What a douchebag. Sorry.
I can't stand this guy.
Yeah, he's the worst. So Zhao gives the Fire Nation soldiers a rousing speech as, you know, imperialist kind of speeches go. The people are fired up. They're yelling. They're screaming. There's banners. There's paraphernalia and propaganda. It's crazy. And, you know, he's talking about the comet and how the comet, they're going to, like, you know, be able to, you know, take over the Earth Kingdom. And Ba Sing Se and all these things once the comet comes, and he's like really, you know, like laying it on thick. But there's a mass bandit that's lurking, the same one we saw earlier. The frozen frogs that Aang has caught, they start to defrost, and Aang is losing his shit. He's like, come on, no, you gotta stay frozen, bro.
I mean, he's failed in like everything at this point. He can't get his friends better. He's captured. Like, he's not feeling great.
And you know what? For you as a conscientious person, all of those things matter. For Aang, all he sees is frogs defrosting, and he can't get Katara healed. If Katara dies, it's over. He doesn't care about any of this that you're talking about. He's like, I need to save Katara. And so at that point, Aang and basically the mass figure bust into the room where he's being captured, and he thinks he's going to take him out. He starts coming at him with the blades, and instead he frees Aang. And the two of them are making an escape from the fort together using a combination of hand-to-hand combat, airbending. They're really working together. However, the masked figure turns on Aang when Zhao says that the Avatar must be captured alive. See, Zhao has tipped his hand that he needs to keep the Avatar alive. At that point, the masked figure grabs Aang and puts the knives to his throat, and Zhao tells them to open up the gates, to which the army is pretty confused. Why are you doing that? At that point, Zhao tells the archers to shoot an arrow as they creep out of the fort. To shoot what we know is the blue spirit now, in the face with the arrow, and it rings off of his mask, and you see the blue spirit fall to the ground. Aang uses airbending to create a distraction and removes the fighter's mask, to where we find out that the masked fighter is Zuko. Conflicted, Aang and shocked, Aang escapes and saves Zuko. As they escape, one of the things that I noticed that I think was really powerful for me was also that there's a crossroads right there in that moment. And this is a place crossroads signify making decisions. Which direction will you go? And Aang grabs Zuko and decides in that moment, doing the right thing. I'm going to save him. I know
that's the right thing.
Well, I mean, if you are going to have to save the world, leaving Zuko to die in that moment, probably not the best. I mean, I don't know. I don't.
Aang is a better person than me because I would have been out.
I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm not saying I wouldn't have done the same. I'm just saying for Aang, I felt good. I felt good about it, but you're right. I agree. It's a tough decision, you know? And I also think that there's some things here about, you know, what we're seeing Zuko in this moment. He's really, why is Zuko helping him? It's and you know, it's very interesting. It gets muddy there, right? Like Zuko's helping this person who he needs to capture, and he's doing it only because within this idea of him restoring his honor by capturing him, he realizes that Zhao may actually take the glory for himself. So there's a conflict that's there that's representative of that crossroads for both of them. Zuko's definitely at a crossroads, and I need to go rescue this dude, even though I'd rather kill this dude and bring him back to my dad. Or Aang is like, man, I'd rather leave this dude, but I need to take him. So it's like kind of signifies both of them, both of their journeys, maybe a little bit.
I would have listened. The road is clear for me. Zuko would have been on his own.
Just that there's no crossroad. It's a singular
there's
path.
One path. Yeah, I would have been out.
Yeah, no kidding. No, I feel you. I definitely feel you. So at this point, the next scene that we see is Sokka and Katara. They're not doing any better. Momo has brought them everything they can. Katara even has a freaking crown. Momo, where did you find the crown? I need to know. Was there a Claire's? Was there a Claire's around there where you came back with a crown? I don't know what's happening. But Momo doesn't understand English, I guess we find out, because they keep asking him for water and he's bringing back toys. So at that point, we then go to the forest where Aang is, you know, doing this Aang thing. He's like telling a story to asleep Zuko. Zuko can't hear anything he's saying, but we hear it. He tells Zuko that he misses his old friends and even had friends from the Fire Nation. He asks Zuko if they would have been friends back then. Zuko responds by trying to burn his ass. Like, so maybe
again,
you're right.
He should have left him right there. I don't understand. I mean, I understand because it's Aang, but like, I personally would have been like, oh, well, bye. Like, only Aang and Iroh would have saved Zuko. Like, no, everyone else would have been like, bye. Sokka would have definitely left Zuko right there.
Yeah. I'm with that. I think Sokka would have definitely been like, all right, peace, I'm out. Oh, he may have taken him out before he left him while he was sleeping, knocked out. Sokka's like, yeah, we get it. So basically, Aang finally returns with the frozen frogs, gives them to his friends. They start sucking on the frozen frogs, and they are cured. It reminds me of that old frog ice cream that we used to like eat in the summertime. They had like the bubblegum eyes. It's pretty cool. That's it. That's what I got.
I never was into that ice cream, so
no?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't know what I'm talking about? No. There was like an ice cream truck ice cream that had like the frog and like the eyes on them, and you would like eat the eyes and they were bubble gum, and it was like you either got that guy or the guy with the bubble gum nose.
Unacceptable.
All right.
I'm not okay. That's disgusting, but okay.
Yeah.
Our episode 14 is called The Fortune Teller. The episode begins with Sokka trying to catch a fish, as Sokka tends to do. And
always
Aang,
eating.
Yeah, just Sokka's, but you know what? I relate.
Yeah.
I'm hungry all the time too. I get it, Sokka.
Yeah.
Aang makes a necklace for Katara. He's sprung. His crush is definitely escalating.
Yes.
They overhear what they believe to be a bear attack, and after Appa intervenes and saves the man who is being attacked, he tells them that Aunt Wu, who is the local fortune teller, told him he would be fine. He was never concerned. Yeah. Sokka does not take this well. But, you know, Sokka is being Sokka. Aang and Katara decide they want to go see Aunt Wu so that they can learn their fortunes. And Sokka is like, basically, there's no such thing as fortune tellers.
Yeah.
But whatevs. They arrive at Aunt Wu's establishment and they meet Meng, who is her assistant, who immediately decides that she has a huge crush on Aang because Aunt Wu told her that she would marry someone with big ears.
And he's got some pretty big ears. Sokka is like, you know what? Dude, don't be modest. Those ears are pretty big. Oh, man. What I also love about this sequence you just talked about, though, was that Aang was savagely put in the friend zone, like, early in the episode. When they were, like, when he gave her the bracelet and she's all like, yo, no, Aang's just a really good friend. He's, like, such a nice little guy. I'm like, oh, my gosh. So to see this girl, Meng, now head over heels over Aang is, like, really, really funny because it's, like, you know, it's classic. It's classic. You can't have who you want situation.
This whole episode is about unrequited love, basically. Yeah. So Aunt Wu takes Katara to read her fortune and tells her that she will marry a powerful bender, which makes Aang feel pretty confident.
Yeah.
She quickly dismisses Sokka by telling him he will have a difficult life. And he's like, you didn't even read my palm. And she's like, I see it in your face. Like, I'm reading your spirit and it's telling me things are going to be difficult for you.
Oh, man. That's great. His face says it all. Sokka.
When she takes Aang to read his future, she reads it in bones. She sees that he will be involved in a great battle. She does this whole, like, performance about this great battle, to which Aang is like, yeah, I know all that. Can you tell me about, are there any girls? Like, could you talk more about my love life? Because that's more interesting to me.
Oh, my God. This guy wants a horoscope. She's, like, giving him the prophecy for the whole world. He's like, I need my daily horoscope. What are you doing? It's too much.
So is today a good day to tell Katara how I feel or no?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, my gosh.
So the villagers gather outside, and they're waiting for Aunt Wu's prediction in the clouds. They want to know if the local volcano will remain dormant or if it's going to erupt. Sokka is not okay with this. He's so angry about the fact that everyone just buys into Aunt Wu's predictions, and he's just, like, besides himself.
Yeah.
Just as the villagers are celebrating the good news that Aunt Wu gives them about the volcano, Aang decides right then that he needs to confess his feelings to Katara, who is too distracted and also, like, very obsessed with knowing her future.
Yeah.
And goes back to see Aunt Wu.
Miss Cleo was pissed that she didn't have her, like, in her run. Like, when Miss Cleo had her run, Call Me Now, she was like, she's like, man, I needed a Katara on my side, man.
Oh, yeah. Katara would have been hitting up that 900 number, like, every single night.
Yeah.
It's too much. So Sokka is enraged by the fact that the villagers take everything that Aunt Wu says as basically the word.
Yeah.
He goes around trying to convince everyone that she's wrong. And I feel you, Sokka. Yeah. Me and Sokka had a moment here when he was talking to the guy and he was like, can your science and reason explain the rain? And Sokka's like, yes.
Yes, yes, it can. Yes.
This is how I feel talking to the anti-vaxxers. This is, I hear you, Sokka.
Yes.
I'm with you.
Loud and clear. Damn, it's craziness. Like, oh my gosh. Go ahead. You know, again, he has the antibodies. He just recovered from the Rona. He knows what he's talking about. Okay.
So, he also decides that he should give Aang some love advice in this time. And he tells Aang that he shouldn't be too nice to the girl that he loves. He should play it cool. He also thinks that girl's Meng. So, yeah. even though right in front of him is so obvious that it's Katara, but whatever. Okay, Sokka, you can't get it all right.
Yeah.
Aang tries to act like he doesn't care about Katara, but Katara doesn't seem to notice.
Because she's doing exactly what Sokka is telling Aang to do, she's like, oh yeah, whatever, okay, cool.
No, I think though Katara actually doesn't really care. Like, she is, I think she loves Aang, but she just doesn't have feelings for him.
No, she calls him a cute little guy and a great friend in the beginning of the episode. I would concur. I agree.
So to win her heart, he decides he will try to get a tiger lily from the mountain. He and Sokka go up the mountain, and they see that the volcano is not dormant after all. Mm-hmm. It is actually quite active, and Aunt Wu was wrong. Team Avatar then tries to explain to the villagers that they have to leave and get them to listen to reason, but they just, like, the villagers are not having it. They believe Aunt Wu. She's always been right in the past, so they have no reason to think that Team Avatar, who they just met, is right.
Yeah.
So Aang decides he's going to manipulate the clouds so that Aunt Wu will see the danger in them. And they come up with a whole plan to divert the lava into the river. And also, there was a little scene between Meng and Aang here where she basically says that she knows he loves Katara, not her, and it was a cute little scene. I felt bad for her. Yeah. But I did relate to her because she was like, she has manageable hair.
Yeah.
She was like, I feel you girl. So the plan mostly works out, but there's too much lava. It's going to overflow, and Aang ends up using airbending to sort of freeze the lava in place and saves the village. The next day, Aunt Wu tells Aang that just as he had the power to reshape the clouds, he can reshape his own destiny.
Mm. Really, really good stuff to leave on that parting note. And, you know, also there's a little bit of shade between Meng and Katara, I'm just going to say.
Yo, no, she, I mean, after she was like, I understand, she clearly, she's not feeling Katara at
no,
all.
No.
Not feeling her out. Again, extremely relatable. I understand you. Yeah. We see eye to eye.
Listen, little does she know, Katara needs a lot of help in the dating area. I mean, let Jet be an indication. That's all I have to say. That was bad look. Bad look, Katara. Anyway, speaking of, you know, resources that are needed in the Water Tribe, let's go ahead and talk about the next episode, Bato of the Water Tribe. Aang finds a Water Tribe dagger, which reminds Sokka of his childhood and the men in his village leaving for battle. They've come upon a site of a waterbender and a Fire Nation battle. Katara and Sokka realize that their father was there when they find a boat from his fleet. Team Zuko is enjoying some tea
as usual.
Yeah, you know what? Iroh likes his tea, man.
He really does. He really enjoys the tea.
This guy loves his music, his tea, his women. I feel like there's somebody else that he reminds me of. Oh, Tyrion Lannister, maybe. Except it's a little stronger tea. It's hard tea. So Team Zuko, again, is there enjoying tea, and a bounty hunter named June shows up on their ship with an enormous beast called Shirshu. They capture a stowaway, basically, that they didn't know was on their ship. She's like, there's a stowaway here. There's no stowaways on my boat. Okay, Zuko, calm down. And Iroh and Zuko are pretty impressed that she could just, like, know the stowaway was there, go ahead and get the stowaway and pull him off, and then leave as quickly as she came. June explains that Shirshu can track people and paralyze them, and she does that with this captive that she has. So Iroh is pretty impressed. He says it a couple of times. Impressive. Very impressive. He's liking it. So just as Sokka, back with the Team Avatar, is reminiscing about his father, they're approached by Bato, a warrior from their tribe that knows their father. Bato takes them to an abbey he's been hiding in, and Aang quickly feels left out as Katara and Sokka want to catch up with Bato.
Can we just have a moment here about Aang?
Yeah.
You know how I feel about this episode. I have strong feelings. So, yeah. Bruh, the attention is always on you. Everywhere always. You go, people are like, the Avatar. Your friends have not seen their father in 2 years. They're finally seeing someone that they know who reminds them of their father and who, you know, is from their village, which you've been to, so you know there's no men around.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't even not have the attention for 2 minutes. I just was so irritated with Aang this whole episode.
Yeah, he came off really self-centered, for sure. It showed that he was still battling with this whole ego thing. And he, you know, let's face it, you know, he doesn't like not having Katara's full attention. Whenever he can get it, he shoots for it. He shoots a shot. But that being said, I agree with you. It was pretty annoying to see that he would do that. And it's really like, it highlights in this episode, you know, family ties and what has happened. These guys haven't seen their father in 2 years. And Sokka's flashbacks really indicate how long ago, how little he was when they left, when the men left to go fight this war. And so it's really interesting to see that Aang couldn't get beyond himself in that moment for people that he loves. But Bato basically lets them know that he's expecting a message from their father. Sokka and Katara are really overjoyed by the prospect of seeing their dad again. They're like, you know, he says if they wait for the message, they may be able to actually go with him to see him. And at this point, Aang is really down. He thinks his friends are going to abandon him, and he leaves just before Sokka and Katara can tell Bato that as much as they'd love to see their dad, they can't because, you know, and they can't wait for the message because they need to get Aang, who is the Avatar, to the North Pole. To which Bato is really happy and says, you know, your father will be happy that you guys are serving and helping the Avatar, right? So this was like a moment that Aang could have probably stayed to hear. But instead, he's sulking off on his own and goes off to, you know, see to the shore. And then the message is delivered to him. They ask, do you know Bato of the Water Tribe? I know Bato, he says with a big smile, takes the scroll, looks, and sees that it is the map that they're going to need to get to Katara and Sokka's father. But what Aang does is he decides that, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to hide this message because I don't want my friends to leave me. Meanwhile, really not a good move, by the way.
I was so angry. I text my friend. I watched this episode probably at like, I don't know, 1 o'clock in the morning, and I text her, and I was like, Aang is dead to me. Like, I can't believe he did this. And she was like, Andrea, he's 12 years old. Like, yeah. He's a child. So
yeah.
So I pulled it in a little bit. That's a fair point. Aang is a child, but this was terrible.
He's in his feelings, you know? And if this was, you know, a couple years ago, he'd be doing dances and, like, jumping out of the car while Kiki was being sung to. He's in his feelings. That's what happens. See what I did there, Drake? I got you in here. One way or the other, I would get you into this podcast. All right. So meanwhile, Zuko has teamed up with the bounty hunter and, you know, which a lot of fanfare. This guy, Zuko, is such a freaking tight ass. He's like, pardon me, move away, filth, move away, as she's arm wrestling in the bar. And Iroh's got to be like, he doesn't mean that. He means filth in the best possible way. I'm sure you guys bathe. Like, what is going on? So anyway, she wins her arm wrestling competition. They team up, and they go on this journey to try to trace where the Avatar is based on having Katara's necklace, right? So they find the old lady at the Herbal Institute who basically, like, sons them, like, hey, you know, talking to her cat. Like, what did you do, Mayuki? Did you do this again? It's pretty funny. It's hilarious. And then they leave and make it to the village that Aang saved from the volcano and speak to Aunt Wu, who doesn't have much for him either. And then we cut back to Bato, who takes Team Avatar on a ride on a boat through what is essentially a rite of passage in the Water Tribe. And it's really showing how much, you know, their father is missed. This moment where, you know, you have to, in the Water Tribe, you would have to dodge all of these icebergs to be able to pass this initiation to become a man in that tribe. This is one of the things that is required, right? And that your father would take you on this mission. So Bato basically takes them on this mission and says, I'm going to show you what this is, and steps in kind of as a surrogate. And despite passing the test, Sokka uses his leadership skills to get them through even a more perilous test. Like, he got through everything, and then there's one that looks really, really tough, and he tells Aang what he's going to need. He's going to need him to airbend and put air in the sail, and he tells Katara what to do, and really exhibits that he has grown even in his ability to lead. Even though sometimes we give Sokka a hard time, he really, really is showing his leadership skills in this moment of crisis. And at that point, Bato gives each of the group a ceremonial mark as part of the rites of passage. The mark for wisdom was given to Sokka. The mark for bravery was given to Katara. And then the mark for trust as an honorary member of the Water Tribe was given to Aang. And Aang, just, it's a bridge too far for Aang. He's already been dealing with guilt, even in knowing what he had done. A couple of times in the episode, he's almost found out. And at this point, he fesses up to this major betrayal and gives the map to Katara and Sokka, who are really upset. And Sokka basically is like, we're leaving. Are you with me, Katara? You know, and she does. She goes.
Yeah, I was actually surprised Katara went with him. But this was pretty terrible, what he did. So I can understand why she felt that she should go with her brother. This was shocking. I was really upset. I'm still salty.
rightfully so, right? Because we talked in the last episode about how out of character it was for Aang to lie the way that he did in the Great Divide. And in this moment, like, we see again, like, omission is essentially a lie. Like, this idea of omitting this thing is essentially him lying and being dishonest with his friend. So we're seeing Aang work through this propensity truly in these last few episodes to really have struggle with, like, his emotions and the truth. And we'll talk about that more, about why that is, later in the episode. But it's really interesting seeing him struggle in this way. And that Katara was like, I'm done with this, you know, in that moment. I was shocked.
It was understanding. Understandable for her to have this reaction.
Yeah. And that it was kind of heartbreaking, right? Because they're leaving and she's all like, okay, goodbye. And he's all like, okay, bye. And you get this, they're just sad. You can tell that they really all care for each other, but this is just a moment. And so at that point, we go to Zuko and Jun and Iroh, and they're fast on Aang's heels. Just then, Sokka and Katara, you know, they decide to return to Aang. Basically, they realize that, you know, as Bato was talking to them about the sound of a lone wolf and how he's felt that feeling, they think about Aang in the world alone, his whole tribe gone, and what it means for them to go on to just see their father, and what that means for the world as a whole. And in that moment, Sokka again exhibits leadership, where he just talks about, no, we have to go back. Like, as much as I want to see Dad, Aang needs us. Again, you know, putting his own feelings aside of how he felt betrayed and going back to help his friend. Basically, when one of the nuns from the abbey reports to Aang that, you know, Zuko and Jun have showed up to the abbey and that they're using the scent of a necklace to track him. And in that moment, Aang realizes that they're actually tracking Katara and not him. And right then, we see Jun and Zuko catch up to Katara and Sokka, and they realize that Aang isn't there. And Zuko, of course, thinks, you're lying. You know where the Avatar is, right? And the Beast uses his tongue to paralyze Katara and Sokka. And you know what? If you didn't know the context of the scene or the story, that would sound weird. And so at that point, Aang and Zuko fight when they get back into the nunnery. And while Jun and Shirshu are attempting to take down Appa, poor Appa.
God. I know. Appa's so brave. And there's no respect for Appa.
You know what? He's so brave. And he was wrecking them for a while until that freaking thing that has its tongue. I mean, it's like, you know, it's got some sort of like venom or something to paralyze you. So it's, yeah, he was having a hard time with this one. But he did take some wins, even though he took some L's. And Appa's briefly paralyzed, but he manages to recover and fight the Shirshu still. They're able to win by using perfume to cover up how the Shirshu sees, because the Shishu essentially sees through its sense of smell. So by using the perfume, it disorients the Shishu and throws June from the Shishu, and he starts lashing out. He hits Zuko with his tongue, and they go ahead and he hits June with the tongue. And Iroh is very broken up that June is hit with the tongue, and he's all like, wait, no. And then when we cut back to them, we see Iroh laying there holding June, and Zuko's like, Uncle, you didn't get hit with the tongue. Iroh's on some, shh, why are you blowing my spot up, bro? Like, why are you blowing me up? I don't understand. So at that point, we realize that Team Avatar is going to get out of this one once again. They fly off on the back of Appa now that he's recovered. And Aang returns the necklace to Katara, who basically gives him a kiss on the cheek, and all is well in the world. Aang blushes, and they continue their journey to the North Pole.
Episode 16 is called The Deserter. Team Avatar decides that they're going to visit a fire festival.
Fire festival!
Despite the fact that on the same bulletin board where it's noting the fire festival, there's also a wanted poster for Aang.
Yeah.
It's just... I was so outraged. And then Katara and Aang are like, it's okay, we'll just leave in case something... You know, when something comes up, and Sokka's like, yeah, because that's how it always works.
Yeah, Sokka was the voice of reason once again in this situation. He's like, come on, guys, really? This is what's going on. Oh, man.
Yeah. So they put on disguises, which are not great.
The worst. They're actually the worst. We understand that Aang is just not, while the Avatar, he is not good at disguises. First, the Amashu mustache, right? And then now we have the monk hoodie. Like he just throws a hoodie over. He basically takes his thing and it's like, here we go. I'm a monk. I'm going to throw my thing over. And it looks exactly like him, but with his shirt pulled over his head. It's wild.
Yeah. So they get to the festival and they realize everyone is actually wearing masks. And so they get a few. And, you know, they watch some light Fire Nation propaganda in a puppet show.
Yeah. Well, at least one thing going for them. At least they have one thing going for them. At this fire festival, when they showed up, there were fire flakes instead of soggy bologna sandwiches and disaster relief tents. Okay? Also, Ja Rule and Billy McFarland, you even stole the name of your festival from Avatar The Last Airbender. What the fuck, man? Like, what is going on? How did they ever pull this shit off? How did they do this? But to be fair to the Fire Nation, right, and their festival, at least the performers actually showed up. Okay? At least. It's so bad.
Sometimes I watch the Fire Festival documentaries just for fun. Mm-hmm. You just, like, can't look away.
You cannot.
Oh, okay. Right. And so during the show, in which, you know, again, the performers actually showed up, yeah, Katara has been volunteered for, you know, a little demonstration. It's basically like this guy is showing off. Is he going to be able to save Katara? And because Aang can never just let things play out, he reveals himself as an airbender. Ugh.
And there's only one airbender left in the world who happens to be the Avatar. What the fuck, Aang?
It's just like, it's like a magician show. Just chill out. It's not that serious. Katara was not going to die. Even Sokka was like, calm down, bro. It's going to be okay. So a shadowy figure appears and tells them that he can help them escape. Aang calls for Appa, and Appa, as usual, shows up and saves them. Mm-hmm. The figure sets off fireworks, and they realize that he is a former Fire Nation soldier named Che. He tells them of a former Fire Nation admiral or general, he doesn't really remember which.
He was ranked high, we get it.
Whose name is Zhang Zheng, and is a master of firebending. Mm-hmm. So Aang wants to go and meet this Zhang Zheng because he wants to learn how to firebend. And he says it might be his last chance. Zheng Zheng's men capture them and take them to the camp. Che tells Aang that Zheng Zheng will not see him because he isn't ready, having not mastered waterbending or earthbending yet. To which Aang is like, how does he know? And yeah. He's basically like, yeah, he saw you, dude. Like, he knows. He does it. He saw you coming into the camp. He could tell you're immature. Like, it's not happening. Meanwhile, our favorite character, Admiral, no longer commander, Admiral Zhao, has arrived at the fire festival and is pretty pissed that the Avatar was there and that they got away.
Nice attempt at the pivot by his soldier, like presenting a rosy report about how the festival went. Hey, there were no fights. Death was way down. Zhao's like, I could give two shits about your local crime rates. Okay? I don't care about your local crime rates.
He's like, you had the Avatar and you let the Avatar go. What is wrong with you?
Yeah. It's wild.
So Aang goes to see Zheng Zheng, who gives him a lesson about destiny. We're going to talk a lot more about this later. Telling him that he doesn't fully understand it, he explains that he has to learn the other two elements first because fire is alive and can spread and destroy everything in its path. He tells Aang that he is weak, and then Avatar Roku shows up, not like him being called weak, and tells Zheng Zheng that he must teach Aang firebending because Aang is the Avatar.
Yeah, and that he's mastered it over many lifetimes. You think I'm weak, son? What did you say? What?
It's so funny because in my head, this whole like transition was like Aang is like pleading with Zheng Zheng, and then Roku's like, "Step aside, son."
Yeah, exactly.
Let me talk to him.
Yeah.
Firebender to firebender.
Yeah, it was wild. It was good.
At his first lesson, Zheng Zheng tries to get Aang to concentrate, which I was like, man, Katara's been trying this for months. It's just...
Good luck. Word, I'm with you.
He tries to explain breathing techniques, control, and patience, and Aang is just not there. He's so, like, anxious about learning that he wants to skip all this so he can move to creating fire.
Yeah.
Zheng Zheng tells him the story of one of his previous pupils who lacked discipline. And he's talking about Zhao, who failed to learn any restraint and, you know, is just overall a douchebag.
Mm-hmm.
Just as Aang is finally given a lesson with fire, it is interrupted. He loses control of the fire and accidentally burns Katara. Sokka, who is rightfully pissed off.
Yeah. You just burned my sister, bro. Like, being careless and doing too much. You're doing the most. Like, I've been telling you, we didn't need to go on this mission yet. You're just too anxious.
Yeah, he tells Aang all about himself. And, you know, Aang is told to leave, that they need to leave, basically, despite all of his apologies. Mm-hmm. Katara is pretty upset, you know, and she's hurt. He burned her, and so she figures out how to get to the water, and she puts her hands in the water and heals herself, which is a new skill for Katara. Zheng Zheng comes to her and tells her that sometimes great waterbenders have this ability, but it's rare. Wow. Just then, Zhao and his men find Katara and Zheng Zheng. Zheng Zheng manages to hold off Zhao and escapes. But then Aang and Zhao end up facing off. Aang realizes that Zhao was the undisciplined student that Zheng was talking about, and he uses that to his advantage, basically hyping him up, talking a lot of shit, and getting Zhao to overreact and burn his entire fleet.
And there's moments like this where you just remember that although 12, although kind of all over the place and like really has some character things he's still working out, this is still the spirit of the Avatar inside this little kid's body that can think of things on his feet like that and just turn the situation around. It's amazing to see what this happens at the end of this episode, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's brilliant. Like, Zhao is like, he's like, you lost. And Zhao's like, you haven't even thrown a punch. Like, what are you talking about? And then he's like, well, look around. You've destroyed everything with your lack of restraint and and frankly, strategy. Mm-hmm. I loved, my favorite line was when Aang was like talking shit and was like, oh, I thought you would be better than Dooku for some reason. I'm not sure why. I was like, that cuts deep.
Yeah.
So this is how he gets the advantage and he wins. Team Avatar manages to escape on Appa. And somehow Zhang Zheng and his men all escape. Katara heals Aang's wounds with water. So now, you know, everyone knows that she has this new skill. And that's how the episode ends.
Good look for Katara with the healing powers. I'm feeling that. That's awesome. Awesome, awesome. Yeah, so let's talk about some of the themes that came up in this run of episodes. We you know, there's a lot that happens in these episodes, as we've talked about offline. So what's some of the themes that jumped out to you?
So destiny is a regular theme in the show, but in these four episodes, it is particularly present for Aang. In this block of episodes, as in most of Book One, Team Avatar is on a journey to the North Pole. That journey and going through it is just as important as their destination. In each episode, Team Avatar faces challenges, and those challenges teach them something new. Sometimes it's a skill, sometimes it's, you know, a philosophy. This growth and learning is just as important as their destination. Aunt Wu, Bato, and Zhang Zheng all impart wisdom on the team that will make them stronger as they move to towards their destiny. Zhang Zheng in particular makes clear to Aang that he must learn the elements in the correct order, as each skill helps him build on his path to reaching self-actualization. And that will lead him to fully embrace his destiny as the Avatar.
Yeah, and there's like a particular part that jumped out to me in this whole theme about journey is where Zhang Zheng says to Aang, destiny, what would a boy know of destiny? If a fish lives his whole life in a river, what does it know of the river's destiny? Only that it runs on and out of its control. But he cannot see the end. He cannot imagine the ocean. And for me, that's a metaphor for the Avatar's journey and Team Avatar's journey, right? The metaphor is about consciousness, in my opinion. Aang is speaking to the master about the collective consciousness that the world has about what the Avatar represents. And like the fish in the metaphor, he has been engulfed in his own understanding of his place in the world based on that concept. And Zhang Zheng sees the growth that Aang still needs and within his own consciousness and his own growth and understanding. And he knows he needs that before he takes on the element of fire. And fire is the element of power. It represents, you know, what the Fire Nation is, that they, you know, they have desire, they have will, and they have the energy to achieve their objective, which is why their campaigns have been so successful. But the Avatar's mission is not just about power. Without stability and substance that Earth provides and the compassion and the flexibility of water, Aang cannot be the Avatar fully. He can't just defeat imperialism in the form of the Fire Nation's leadership. He must bring them back into the fold if he's going to restore harmony.
Oof. That's deep. I mean, it's, I think it's so true too. It's not just about defeating the enemy. In order to defeat the enemy and that be the end, you would have to essentially wipe them out, right? And
yeah.
I don't think Aang has any interest in doing that, but also because his own people have been wiped out, I think that he would never do that. So he has to figure out a way to bring them back into the fold peacefully. So that's even bigger than mastering all of the elements and then fighting the Fire Lord, right? Mm-hmm. Where this 12-year-old is basically tasked with creating world peace.
100%. And it's in such a tall order. And you know, we'd be remiss, right, if in this moment that we're all facing, we didn't see the correlation between that, right? This idea of not really loving, like not only not really loving, being totally against imperialism and what that represents and concepts of oppression, and still needing to, at some point, once you get beyond the defeating the constructs, still needing to recognize that as humanity, as people, we are all like needing to live together in harmony. That is a big theme throughout this story. And it's something that right now, with what we're all experiencing with the world as a whole, we could all stand to remember.
Yeah. I mean, this all goes back to the notion of reconciliation, which we talked about last week. How mm-hmm. can these things all tie together? We said previously, one of the things about this show is that it's definitely introduces concepts and then builds upon them. So this is interesting for sure.
I love it. I love this show for that reason. Exactly. And another concept that kind of is a theme that we wanted to talk about and touch on is one that maybe, you know, you're familiar with, and it may be one that you're hearing about for the first time, but it's this theme of detachment. And detachment is a concept in some Eastern spiritual practices that, you know, one must remove themselves from the idea of the outcome and the sequence of events to reach one's goal or their destiny. Aang believes that he must, like he's bent on this, that he must learn firebending right away, as he thinks he needs, that to happen based on the limited scope of his understanding at the moment that he's in and his own anxieties about the coming comet. And he, you know, he's worried that he won't get another opportunity to be around firebenders, because those are the very people that he's, you know, needing to fight against to restore order. Mm-hmm. And it reminds us of another beloved story, right? It reminds me of one that I love, and particularly of Star Wars, where the protagonist, Luke Skywalker, you know, he's bent on leaving to save his friends when he's training with Master Yoda. He leaves early because he thinks his friends are in trouble, even though Master Yoda basically appeals to him that you should stay and finish your Jedi training, that would be more helpful. He feels like, I need to do this thing now. And this attachment to his friends and the current events that are around him interrupts his ability to master the skills he needs to defeat the Empire. And it's one of the reasons that the Empire kind of has a W in that portion of the story. And this has dire consequences for Luke, and it may also, if we pay attention to this and really track it, it could have some similar consequences for Aang as well if he continues down this path.
Mm-hmm.
So big stuff here, big themes that are touched on in this episode. And like always, there's lessons here in these things. So what did we learn about the world or about a character that really stands out?
I mean, the big one is that Katara has the ability to heal. She can use magic to heal the wounds of others through her water bending. This is an important skill set for her to have and will be important to the story. But just like, wow, I was like, what?
Yeah.
way to reveal a really incredible skill that they need. I mean, this team is constantly in peril. As an adult watching this show for the first time, my anxiety was very high for these children all the time.
Yeah.
So this is a skill that she has through her waterbending. It seems that it is specific to waterbending. I found it very interesting that Katara has this skill in particular, but also that it's through waterbending that she's able to do this. So that was a cool addition to the story for sure.
Yeah, and I think it goes along with some of the other things we've talked about, right? That like the whole point, you know, you could get really caught up in the Avatar and Team Avatar's mission being to just destroy the Fire Nation. The fact that we're highlighting in this last block of episodes this aspect of healing is really what this whole mission is about. Like, remember, Katara starts off the whole show in the intro talking about how all the nations lived in harmony, right? So the fact that she's like, we're seeing her as a healer for the first time, and that she's also the one that freed Aang truly from the actual iceberg, there's something to be said about that. She's been a healer even before she had the bending skill to heal. She's been on this journey for a while, and it's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's it for us for this week. You know, man, we're so happy to be here with you guys. And please, 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 please leave reviews. It's so helpful to us when you do that. And we're just happy for all the people who are joining on to this story. Like, a lot of you guys are coming on for the first time. Some of you have listened to the other podcast seasons that we've had. But, you know, check that out if you're interested in those stories. And, you know, reach out to us on social. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, it's been really fun to talk to you guys, especially those of you who are watching the show for the first time. This show is pretty incredible. So we're really glad that we picked it, and we're excited to continue this journey with you.
So fun. All right. Well, till next week.
Bye, everyone.